Mrs. Dunham once said, "I want on my tombstone, she tried." But now, she said, "I want, she did it." This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the instant inspiration. Mrs. Dunham, whoever she may be, once said, "I want on my tombstone, she tried." But now, she wants, she did it, to be on the tombstone. Now, I think that's always amusing, that people plan for their tombstone. They plan for this, and they plan. I think dust, from dust to dust. I mean, the Bible points that out right from the beginning, from dust to dust. And it would have been so smart if they didn't have any burials or stuff like that. You know, just do like the yes, the name doesn't come to me. He's over in Persia, Zarathustra. Zarathustra taught that in part of the teaching of Zarathustrianism, they take a dead body when he's dead, and they put him up on a pillar like the Indians, you know, and then the animals, the creatures, the birds come and remove the flesh.
Enjoy it,
yeah. And the bones fall to the ground. And apparently the bones then are buried or just left too, as they stack up down there, whose bones are mixed up with whose, you know. But the American Indians have a burial in that manner. And so here the Zarathustrians back in Persia, many, many centuries ago, did the same thing, centuries, millennia. And it was quite a common thing. And death never was considered, once the body was dead, it had no reverence about it. There was no reverence to the body. It was, in some cultures, a reverence to the person, and this was their body, so they revered their cloak, they revered their shoes and things like that. And of course, the myths that are around, they say that if you can have any clothing that belonged to some powerful person, you would take that power on in you from that person. And of course, that's a common way of looking at it. But for her to say she wants on her tombstone, she did it, means that she wants the world to recognize that she did it. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's wonderful. I think it's just wonderful that we recognize that people have done great things. And people like Abraham Lincoln and other great people of history, they have all been quoted as saying, "Your reputation is not what people think of you. It's what you think of you." If you have lived a life that you feel fulfilled what you wanted to do, as best it can be, if you felt that everything you did was pointed toward the direction you wanted to go, you could die happy. But if you need to have someone else honor your death and honor you by saying, "He was a good man, you know, he was nice to his family." I was so amused at what we said about Kip on his tombstone. It said he was a father, a husband, and something else, you know. I mean, so what? You know, so what? And that's like saying you were a man and you were a human being and you lived in Pensacola, Florida. That doesn't point any direction to your fame. Now, on Kip's tombstone could have been put words like this: "He was a devoted husband who spent his life making his wife one of the happiest ladies in the world." Now, that's something, you know. Mm-hmm. "He was a devoted father, and he made sure that his two children had the finest education that anyone could do." Now, I mean, you know, that's something. Now, or he was into politics, or he was into whatever, but even that's not too cool, you know. So what we have to do is to be aware of, and if you help, you're going to always have to help. The puppy dog here is trying to jump up into the chair, and he's putting on a good show so that Sylvia would come over and lift him up again, as she has done a number of times. But if you would take a little piece of cookie or meat and put it on that chair, he could leap there in a flying kazoo, you know. But no. See, now you put your hand there. Come, come, puppy. Love, do you understand? On your tombstone they're going to put, he couldn't jump worth a tinker's darn, you know. Is that what you want them to say?
No, he did it.
Yeah, well, sure, he did it because she encouraged him. Now, with Ray's dog, you don't have to encourage the Jack Russell Terrier. He's midair before he decides where he wants to land. And every time I come over there, he leaps into my lap and runs up and lays with me and talks to me and so on. And Ray says, he doesn't do that with anybody else. And I said, well, that's the way it is, you know. I don't really care about him. I don't really love the dog. He's nice, you know, but he's Ray's dog. And Ray loves him, and that's the main thing, you know. And, of course, now the dog is taken to Dave more because Dave was away for a while. And so that makes a very happy home there, a very happy relationship. But what is it that you want on your tombstone? What is it that you want to be remembered for?
No tombstone.
Nothing.
I have no tombstone.
I have no tombstone either. I'll be dust into the universe. Where
the allness.
The allness, right. And just think. In my dust will be as many specks of dust as are herbs all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever my dust is, there's another herb. Every little speck, every little tiny bit. And can you imagine what that'd be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Looking out over you and watching mm-hmm. over you and guiding you and thinking how wonderful you are and stuff like that, but everywhere. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So, we don't really need to belabor that too much, do we?
No, no.
I want on my tombstone, she tried, and then she changed it to say she did it. Because she did it. Mm-hmm. Now,
she did it, she lives forever.
Now, just in your imagination, do you think that they put she did it on her tombstone?
No.
No, not at all. Not at all. And did she have it done before she died? No. No, she didn't. I know a lot of people who have it done before they die. And then they're not living in the same place. And so here all their investment has gone awry because they die and nobody knows they died. Nobody knows that they're supposed to be buried back in some other state. But it's great. It's really great. I think that every one of us can find ourselves in a very beautiful way. And this is why I'm not doing it too well tonight. But I normally say, give me any topic and I'll wrap my subject around it. And so, what do you want to be known for? Do you want to be known for being a happy, fulfilled person? Do you want to be known for a busybody who has your nose in everybody else's mind? Do you want to be known for a successful, wealthy person? Now, again, I use Bill Gates quite often because he's so much fun. What do you think Bill Gates would like to be known for?
For his genius.
Exactly. He is fighting a fight in Germany, I believe it is, with the Euro program over there. And they're saying he cannot own his intellectual property. He cannot possess that. His company cannot own that because they want to have access to it and they want to utilize it however they wish, which is what the Japanese have always done and many other nations have always done. Not honoring international intellectual property. And Bill Gates is a man with integrity toward intellectual property because that's all he has. Oh, he's got all the money in the world, but that doesn't mean a thing to him. What means something to him is this gift of the intellectual property. And a lot of people don't have the respect for that, especially a foreign nation. Now, if you were living in Germany and you copyrighted and whatever you did with your stuff, like we do over here, and you tried to violate that over there, be off with your head. But because it comes from another country, there's no problem. They say, you cannot have intellectual property over here, because it isn't something that's born out of the German culture or the Japanese culture or something like that, you know. And that's a shame. That really is a shame. I think that we're getting closer and closer to a universal understanding of intellectual property and intellectual geniuses. Now, Mark Twain was a very poor man. He had some of the greatest stories in the world, and now he's become a legend, you know. And during his time, he was a very poor man. He earned from his newspaper writing as a reporter. But his wonderful stories, he didn't earn a great deal from. And we heard on Hans Christian Andersen how his stories got put into the local newspaper, and they didn't pay him for the first one. But after a while, they said they would pay him. And even in the theater, his thought of being paid for the opera that he wrote, or the operetta, was the farthest thing from his mind. And the closest thing to his mind was what? Writing these wonderful things, sharing these wonderful things. You might say the girl. But the girl was married, and he knew that, and he respected that, even though he worshipped her and loved her, because he felt she was being mistreated. Now, a lot of times we go awry when we have our nose in other people's business. And he wrote that beautiful ballet. That was what it was, a ballet. He wrote that because he had met her, and because he'd been charmed by her and her attitude in her life. Although, if I were charmed by someone and I would write that ballet, what was it called?
Mermaid.
Oh, the Ballad of the Mermaid. It was not so very good. It had a lot of ugliness in it. It had a lot of it's just like the Sound of Music. No, not Sound of Music. It's Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Generally, it was fabulous, but then it had these sick parts in it that just utterly destroyed it. Oklahoma will not go down as a classic because it is not consistent. It has that ugliness in it that will just destroy it. And Danny Kaye had so much goodness in him that having this sort of thing in there is something. I think you, as you listen to and see some of his other videos, you'll find them very, very charming. Very, very charming. He is a most amazing man. So, out of this discussion, we want to get one thing. Be ourselves and have fun. Walk our own path. We don't need to have a monument to our memory. We don't need to have a big building with our name on it. Just as soon as we die, they'll take our name off, but somebody else is on who buys it, you know? And it's interesting. Now, when they sold, I think they sold the Sears Tower in Chicago, and when they sold it, they put somebody else's name on it. And the Chrysler building, when they sold that, I think that it's still Chrysler, but only because it was so common. But when you look at street buildings that are downtown, whoever buys it, they put their name on it. Or they put some pleasant name on it. Like the Palace of Happiness or something. But think about these things and see how they fit into your life. And you be the master of who you are. But just remember, it doesn't matter what your tombstone is. It only matters who you are. I love you. I love you. I love you.